You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got it. Touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, columnist over at predominantlyorange.com and an NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos nationally and the National Football League. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. And be sure to head over to predominantlyorange.com for all the latest news, analysis, and updates of all things Denver Broncos, especially today as the first day of OTAs kicked off out of the 10 days where the Broncos are going to have organized team activities. Now, tomorrow, day two of OTAs starts. We're going to talk about day one on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. And you know, to be honest with you, we're going to run down a lineup of things. Obviously, we're going to talk about Case Keenum. You know, there's a lot of talk. There's been a lot of talk around social media today about, you know, the NFL Top 100 list. We're going to talk about that. And I'm going to have a little bit of a rant session about player accolades and honors and overanalyzing or underanalyzing, whatever it may be. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about day one of OTAs for the Denver Broncos. And from all the reports out of Dove Valley, it was effective. It was a very productive and effective day. We'll get into the deeper details of that, some player info, and obviously a lot of different things from that nature there. But very excited about, you know, OTAs. Like we mentioned in yesterday's show, we are one step closer to football on Sundays. OTAs is this final preparation period before training camp, and training camp is the full go into preseason that leads into the regular season. So a lot of good things going on. Very, very excited about all that, and we're going to have you covered here at Locked On Broncos. And I think, you know, let's go over the one thing over at OTAs. Now, the Denver Broncos took the field today in OTAs, and everybody got a lot of reps, a lot of team period, and some 11-on-11, some 7-on-7 drills. No contact, but everything was upbeat. The tempo was very good, and I think there was a lot of great reports out of mini camp, and obviously OTAs now. And one thing is, we talked about the running backs yesterday for the Denver Broncos. Well, Troy Rank was there. He's from Denver 7 News, and he mentioned today that Devontae Booker looked a lot thinner, and what he meant by that is he looked quicker. He looked lean and he looked very explosive, so that could be a telling sign for the Denver Broncos. And Vance Joseph came out in his press conference today and pretty much mentioned the fact that it's super important to have 2 to 3 guys to have a very successful run game. So obviously D'Angelo Henderson, Devontae Booker, Royce Freeman all play a major factor right now in the Broncos' offensive run game and scheme and things of that nature. And another thing is, we're going to go through the injury lineup for the Denver Broncos that did not participate in organized team activities today. Now, Troy Fumagalli, rookie tight end, he did not participate. Obviously, offensive tackle Jared Valdir, offensive guard Ronald Leary, wide receiver Jordan Taylor, they did not participate. And Clinton McDonald, defensive tackle for the Denver Broncos, and D'Angelo Henderson, they all did not participate in OTAs today. And a lot of that was because they want to be cautious. Now, looking at Jordan Taylor, he had double hip surgery this offseason. He can't physically be out there. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. Clinton McDonald had a knee scope, and you know, he's still trying to get into the brunt of things, obviously getting back into field condition. And Ron Leary's also had a little bit of a knee problem, and they're not sure. You know, Denver Broncos' Vance Joseph came out. They talked about whether or not, you know, Ron Leary's going to have to get his knee scoped at some point, depending on how uncomfortable it may be. And that would obviously, you know, it wouldn't impact the Denver Broncos too significantly. He would be back for training camp, so the Denver Broncos, if they have to go the option where Ron Leary gets a scope in his knee to be fully healthy by the time training camp comes around, then I think that might be the option they pursue. Obviously, easing in Jared Valdir, who had an ankle injury in December, they don't want to put him into a situation yet where he has to rush through things and obviously, you know, come out there. So we're going to see a lot of, you know, Sam Jones, offensive guard of the Denver Broncos, drafted in the NFL draft this past year. And obviously you look at Cyrus Kwanjo, who's a project for the Denver Broncos heading into 2018 and training camp. And they're very excited about what they could do with that going forward. And with D'Angelo Henderson, he was in that car accident last week. And I think it's important to note that, you know, the Denver Broncos aren't going to rush him back in. Obviously, you know, flipping, he's lucky to have survived and be alive. So So it would be really wise to kind of keep D'Angelo Henderson out of things at first and then ease him into the situation. You know, you have to factor in concussion stuff, landing on the top of your Jeep, being lucky to survive that kind of an impact. You know, I think he's going to come out with that with a new perspective. But the Denver Broncos at this point are cautiously optimistic. But he got to observe OTAs today, and he had a lot of confidence in what, you know, Case Keenum did. And he came out and pretty much said, without a doubt, day one of OTAs, Case Keenum stepped up. And D'Angelo Henderson said that he's smart, he's demanding, he helps out a lot, he's really relaxing, he's not uptight, he's not an angry guy, and he talks to him in a way where they're normal. Like, he breaks it down, he makes it simpler for them. And that is one word coming out of Dove Valley today with the Denver Broncos offense, is that it was simple, and players were very excited about that. Devontae Booker came out today and talked about how simple the offense was under, you know, offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave. He said today that it allowed them to come out and play faster, and the play calls, they come in quick, and they're not long like they have been in the past. So you have shorter play calls, which I'll give you an example of an NFL play call here. Let's take into consideration of X over Z post Vegas Vanderbilt X crosser. So something along those lines. You have something very long, or Tallahassee spider 2 Y banana X flanker. You know, something along those lines. The quarterback has to memorize that. The wide receivers have to memorize that. So, you know, the play calls have come in simpler for the Denver Broncos offense, and Devontae Booker really attested that it gives you the advantage to get ready, to know what you're going to do on the offensive side of the ball, to not overthink things. And I think that's important. And Bill Musgrave has done a phenomenal job. I'm very high on Bill Musgrave. He's a Grand Junction High School alumni, Denver Post Golden Helmet winner, and like I said, probably, you know, back in the regular season, is Bill Musgrave. When you ask anybody that's seen him play football, he wasn't the most physical type player. He wasn't the fastest, or he had the strongest arm as a quarterback. But they said the one thing that separated him from many people, which is why he also, you know, led the, you know, Grand Junction Tigers to a state title at that point. And, you know, he won a state title because he was smart. He was cerebral. And that is exactly why he's been a successful offensive coordinator in National Football League. He's had success with Nick Foles, success with Derek Carr down there in Oakland. And, you know, Derek Carr was having an MVP type season under Bill Musgrave. And I think the same thing is going to be said here with Case Keenum. It's going to simplify it for Case Keenum. He's not going to have a lot of, you know, overthinking things. And I think that's very important. And Devontae Booker went on to say that part of the reason is that once you have a short play call, whatever it may be, you can go out there. You already know what you're doing. You can go out there and play fast. And when you've got a long play call, it makes you think. Everybody's getting lined up in the wrong places and different stuff. And today, that was a different example. He said under Bill Musgrave's offense right now, he said when the play is called, they're pretty short and sweet. So you can go out there and you can play fast. So it's pretty cool. He said that the Broncos offense were going so fast at one point that the defense wasn't even coming out of their huddle yet. The offense was already lined up, ready to go, and that something like that happens every once in a while. If you ever played football, you've been in that position before, whether you're a defensive guy or an offensive guy. You've experienced that, you know, as well. But I think it's important to note that, you know, I mentioned Jordan Taylor and his hip surgery that he had. I don't know what his role is going to be in 2018. That's something we really have to wonder about. And I think it's important because the wide receiver competition for that number three wide receiver spot is wide open at this point, and he's going to miss out on a majority of the crucial reps to even have a chance to compete and maybe even see the rotation on the offensive side of the ball. You know, maybe the Denver Broncos are going to look at it differently. Maybe they're going to come into it and know what Jordan Taylor did for the Denver Broncos in 2017 and carry that over into 2018. So jumping into things, we're going to recap some more things regarding OTAs, but I wanted to take some time before we got to even listening to what Case Keenum had to say today. I wanted to talk about something that really makes me want to vent about the National Football League and how players receive recognition from others, whether it be the media, whether it be their peers, things like that. Let's talk about validation and accolades. We used to look at the NFL Pro Bowl as the pinnacle of achievement and validation. Back when Champ Bailey and John Lynch were playing, when you got selected to a Pro Bowl, that meant something. Now, over the last 5 to 6 years, that has completely changed. The evolution, I'd probably say, even starting in 2010, the evolution of the Pro Bowl had changed for the worse, and it was more so a glorified recreational tag event rather than what it used to be back in the day. I remember, and a lot of you probably remember too, back in Hawaii, you know, the practices were fun, laid back, the games were competitive and laid back, and they also had a lot of different times where there were some big hits in the Pro Bowl games. Now it's become a glorified recreational event, and obviously being selected to a Pro Bowl now, it doesn't hold the same value now in 2018 that it did back in 2008, 2009. 2007, 2006, early 2000s, you know, having a Pro Bowl, being a 10-time Pro Bowl selection like Champ Bailey or even more, 12-time Pro Bowl selection, those were very big accolades that you looked at and you're like, man, that guy was absolutely phenomenal. Today, anybody can seemingly get into the NFL Pro Bowl. You had the draft format where you would, you know, these two legends, Hall of Famers, would draft their teams. Now you had it where you split it up and you went away from the AFC versus NFC format until this past year, which I'm glad they did that, but the game still is glorified and it's more recreational than anything. So you look at Pro Bowls and you're like, eh, you know what? I don't really look too much into Pro Bowl selections now because, you know, the process seems very flawed. You look at the NFL Top 100. At first, it was a great idea. You're like, okay, you know, all the peers voting, you know, vote for their own players. Well, Tyler Palumbo's of Origin Blue 760 today kind of said it best. He said in the NFL, they have, you know, one of the PR members of the organization during the regular season. They go around to some guys that probably don't even start, third string, second string type guys, not the star player of the team, because you don't want to bother the star player of the team. This is what Tyler Palumbo said, because he's been in the NFL locker room for the Broncos, for the Redskins, and he's been around long enough to know exactly how this has gone since the NFL Top 100 has come out. And he came out and he said pretty much that these guys that fill it out, they rush through it. It's just glorified. Look, I mean, let's take a look at J.J. Watt, for example. J.J. Watt was, I believe, number 80 in this year's top 100, or was in the 80 range for the NFL top 100 in 2017. Well, he was injured, you know, a good portion of last year. There was a year where J.J. Watt didn't play a single, I think he maybe played a couple snaps, but that was it, and he was a top 10 NFL player as voted by his peers. You know, a lot of people will look at the NFL top 100, they'll overanalyze it, or sometimes they'll underanalyze player accolades. Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from J.J. Watt. My point is that the NFL needs a true measuring system for validation and accolades. And I believe best, you know, I think the best voting is the all-pro voting. Now, my issue with the all-pro voting, guys that do other things get overlooked and they don't really get consideration. Case in point, Chris Harris Jr. Chris Harris Jr. covered the slot receivers, which if you talk to anybody, if you've ever played defensive back, playing on the outside as a cornerback, playing man-to-man, playing a cover three, playing a cover four, whatever you may be locked up in, it's easier on the outside. Now, the hard part is when you have to cover slot receivers, because usually when you have slot receivers, they're the quicker guys. They're the Wes Welkers, the Julian Edelman type players, the Danny Amendolas, any type of those flex guys that can create matchup problems with inside linebackers going across the middle of the field. Those are the matchups that Chris Harris Jr. takes on regularly, and he still doesn't get recognition. But I must say that Case Keenum was selected as the 51st. Top pick, top 100 player in the 2017 NFL season. And rightfully so. I think we need to look at the NFL top 100. You know, I watch film religiously. I watch an ungodly amount of film, not just game film. I watch the all 22 coaches film. And when you go through and you look at these things, you see a lot of players that don't get talked about. Case in point, my man Sarah Bettinger, predominantly orange, did a little study today on Garrett Bowles. You go back and you watch clips of Garrett Bowles. A lot of people were knocking hard on Garrett Bowles, but he's got a phenomenal upside. Go back and watch games. Yeah, obviously there's things he can improve. That's every single NFL player in the National Football League. I don't care if you're a 10-year veteran or a rookie. You have things you can improve on, and Garrett Bowles, he knows that, and he's going to do that. But you got to look at the strengths of these players. Far too often, we overanalyze the weaknesses of NFL players, and that's just not, you know, it's not wrong, but it's not right all the time. You have to have that perfect balance of being able to see both sides of things. Yeah, obviously, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. Garrett Bowles, when he gets his hands inside the frame on opposing pass rushers, D-ends, or even stunting linebackers, it's game over. He'll dump you in the dirt, or he'll hold you there. You know, go back and watch the film. Go to Sarah Bettinger's Twitter, at Sarah Bettinger, and check out his film study, his film review of Garrett Bowles this year. He's got a lot of great threads, a lot of great game clips of what Garrett Bowles can bring to the Denver Broncos. And furthermore, that absolutely excites me. So speaking of Garrett Bowles, you got to keep your quarterback upright. Now, obviously, we talked about D'Angelo Henderson having a lot of high praise for Case Keenum and his leadership today. One thing that stood out to me about Case Keenum is he came out right away, and when he spoke to the media today, he didn't really take an angle where, you know, yeah, I'm leading the team, everything like that. He was very humble. He came out and he said, I'm trying to earn the right to lead these guys, to be that leader that these guys look to. That's absolutely phenomenal. That's one thing, I tell you what, we talked about it yesterday. That's what excites me about Case Keenum. He's not the splashy, big Kirk Cousins pickup that everybody wanted to see in 2017 free agency. He's a guy that has the potential to grow into something bigger and better. And you get him at a cheaper production rate, you know, in terms of his contract. He has the opportunity to earn a big contract, but he's got a lot of intangibles when you go on film. He's got great leadership. The Denver Broncos, look at the quarterback position last year with Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch and the Brock Osweiler, you didn't have a true quarterback in there that is a bona fide leader. Case Keenum, ever since he's been brought into the National Football League, ever since he was at the college in Houston, tearing up SMU's defense and other schools, Case Keenum has always been a leader, a guy who doesn't pretend to lead. He leads by example. He's very encouraging with his players. That is what the Denver Broncos need. And he'll also chew your butt if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. There's plenty of examples of that. Now go back. When was the last time the Denver Broncos had a quarterback that had great leadership skills? What was his name? His name was Peyton freaking Manning, and he's retired. He's not coming through that door. So Broncos fans need to be patient, and honestly, you know, come into this training camp with no expectations. Let's not come into it with low expectations or too high of expectations. Let's come in with an open mind in the training camp and the preseason and the regular season and think, okay, what are we going to see? Last year, we were completely confused on what the Denver Broncos were going to do at quarterback. You had the quarterback competition, Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. Week in and week out, there was non-committal. You know, coaches couldn't commit on a quarterback throughout the entire regular season for the Denver Broncos. Each week, we came into a new week after a game, after a loss, after the 8th straight loss that the Denver Broncos had in 2017. And we're like, who's going to be the quarterback? All season long, you had that lingering issue. With Case Keenum, you no longer have that problem. For a lot of reasons. Case Keenum is a major upgrade at quarterback for leadership, productivity, upside, and potential. I think those are the things that we have to look at going into the training camp, into preseason, into regular season. Come into it with zero expectations, but come into it with an open mind. Be open to it. I'm very excited about Case Keenum. And I can tell you what, based on watching a lot of film of NFL games, watching a lot of film on Case Keenum in Minnesota, watching a lot of film on Case Keenum back when he was with Los Angeles, he has a lot of intangibles that can be very, very great in the National Football League. I'm not calling him the next Aaron Rodgers, but he has a lot of key, you know, attributes within him that can make him as dangerous as Aaron Rodgers. If he has the right pieces around him, the right coaching, which I believe he does with, you know, Bill Musgrave, I think he can do a phenomenal job with him. Now, we just have to be open and receptive to that. So in just a few moments, we are going to get to Case Keenum talking about the Denver Broncos OTAs day one, and obviously talking about the no-fly zone here in just a moment. So Case Keenum met with the media today, and I want to credit this completely to, you know, Zach Stevens over there at the BSN network. Case Keenum had previously no clue that the Broncos secondary was nicknamed the no-fly zone. So we're going to take a listen to what Case Keenum's reaction was to the no-fly zone and obviously the secondary that he has to throw against and go against in practice every single day. Take a listen right here. Zach Stevens, BSN network.
Kind of hone things by facing them.
Is that their nickname? Is that what they're called?
That's it. Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Well, it's good to know. They're talented. They're a talented squad. When good going against good, it makes you better. And, competition, not only within positions and yourself, but against the defense, coming out here every day and competing against the no-fly zone is going to be really good. I'm excited. It's fun competition, man. Those guys are really good.
Thank you, Case.
So thinking about that too, you know, the Denver Broncos secondary got a lot of new pieces there. You have Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby, still returning there, Justin Simmons, Will Parks. You have the addition of Sua Cravens as well, and the addition of Isaac Yadam out of Boston College, and Brandon Langley, a cornerback from last year who's a project for the Denver Broncos. You have a pretty young secondary in some areas, and you have a pretty experienced secondary in a lot of areas as well. So having Case Keenum get a go against those guys is important. I think it's going to build up Case Keenum and help him contribute and be better little bit. So we're going to highlight a few things here, and obviously some first round picks, and not really first round picks, but some of the Denver Broncos draft picks today had some shine today, and Paxton Lynch and Isaiah McKenzie had a good day at Broncos OTAs, connecting on a couple passes and catching runs that would have led to a touchdown. And you know, who knows what it's going to be in a quarterback simulate, you know, when you have a defense out there in your face blitzing you. Some of this was on air, but overall, you know, everybody looked good, everybody looked crisp and clean. I think maybe the golf outing that the Broncos had yesterday played a major role in that. So looking at all those things, Josie Jewell is a guy who could crack the Denver Broncos starting lineup in 2018. Now today, he had a very athletic interception jumping up over the middle and intercepting Paxton Lynch's pass. Now, very excited about Josie Jewell's ability to play on the interior and be a guy that can rush the quarterback and obviously be a main anchor in run support. And that's where you kind of maybe have a dime package situation where you have, you know, Sua Cravens in as a dime linebacker in passing situations, and you have some different guys that can plug the run if they decide to go dive up the middle. You have all these different options. I think the Denver Broncos got into training camp today and they just had fun. They didn't overthink things. They didn't put too much emphasis on things going a certain way. They just came out, executed the best that they could. Cortland Sutton caught some amazing passes today, and I think it's a good first day. And Case Keenum came out today and said, you know, on his first day out here, he pretty much said he's with the team. You know, he had a talk with the team and said, I'm here with all of you guys. I'm trying to earn the right to lead them, and I want to earn that right every single day that he's there. That's how he views the quarterback position. That's how he views being a leader, and he wants his actions to speak louder than his words. So those are very key things, and Case Keenum saying all the right things. And Troy Rank of Denver 7 News had the opportunity to talk to Shane Ray today, and Shane Ray said that his left wrist is doing very good. You know, he took a break from Twitter, which absolutely helped him out, but now Shane Ray's weighing about 248, 250 pounds. He said this is the heaviest he's been. And he looked at his whole situation with his option not being picked up by the Denver Broncos. He said, it's a business. I understand that. If the criticism of me is in my third year because of the injury that I sustained, I can live with that. And I think Shane Ray's going to give all in 2018 for the Denver Broncos. He's not going to have sour grapes about it. And I think that's important to overanalyze. And you know, Vance Joseph came out today, too, talking about not overanalyzing things. Looking at the Denver Broncos tailback position, which we alluded to a little bit in yesterday's episode, he said that it's a wide-open race at tailback now that C.J. Anderson's gone. Vance Joseph came out today with the media and said somebody's got to be the starter, but in order to have a great running game, you have to have 2 to 3 guys. So, you know, he really kind of alluded to that Devontae Booker has the first right to win the starting job. He has the first chance to win it. And obviously, D'Angelo Henderson is going to compete and Royce Freeman is going to compete, but don't be surprised when all three of these guys play on Sundays. So I think that's very important as well. And so to get to my final point here, I told you guys at the beginning of the episode that there was something I wanted to vent about. We are literally sitting on day one of OTAs in Del Valle for the Denver Broncos, and I couldn't help today. Scrolling through Twitter, talking about NFL news, talking to some people over there in Del Valle that were at, you know, OTAs, and seeing some of the reactions of people who weren't necessarily at OTAs, but kind of overanalyzing a little bit of what's being reported. And people were really overanalyzing the fact that Paxton Lynch was getting reps with the number 2 team, and Chad Kelly was getting reps with the 3rd team. And all of a sudden, that became a big angle that the Denver Broncos franchise continues to coddle Paxton Lynch and this and that Chad Kelly's not getting a fair shake. I think it's day one of the NFL and the Denver Broncos OTAs. I don't think we can read too much into who runs with the 1s, who runs with the 2s, who runs with the 3s. I think that's just a moot point at this point. And when I say that, training camp is going to be the deciding factor on who is the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Both Paxton Lynch, both Chad Kelly will have the opportunity to compete for that backup quarterback position. So, guys, Twitter, please take a deep breath. Let it out. Don't overanalyze these positional battles. Don't overanalyze what's going on in OTAs. Training camp is going to be the true measuring evaluation tool that we will use in determining camp battles. And you'll hear it from the coaches. Training camp is going to be huge. Preseason is going to be huge. And we're going to be at the Denver Broncos training camp in July at Dove Valley. So if you're around there, holler at me, say hi. We're going to maybe set up remote and do a remote podcast of Locked On Broncos in Denver following training camp. Be sure to catch me out there and catch me on Mile High Sports with Coach Les every once in a while here on the evenings as well. Very excited about that. Very excited about what's in store for the future of Locked On Broncos. And if you love Locked On Broncos, head on over to iTunes right now. Leave a review. Tell us why you love the show. Leave your Twitter handle in the review with hashtag Locked On Broncos contest to be automatically entered into every single Locked On Broncos contest giveaway that begins in the NFL regular season. So September through hopefully February, there will be a Locked On Broncos contest giveaway where every month we will be giving a prize, Denver Broncos related, to a listener and Denver Broncos fan of the show here at Locked On Broncos. You must be following me at Cody Rourke NFL in order to be eligible as well. Combined with the review from iTunes, you'll be automatically entered every single month. Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Broncos. Here in the coming weeks, we're going to have an interview with Locked On NFL's Matt Williamson talking all things NFL and the Denver Broncos, as well as Brian Peacock, host of Locked On 49ers, Ryan Tracy, Chris Clark, host of Locked On Chiefs. A lot of great content in store, as well as predominantly Orange Overview with Sarah Bettinger, Cameron Parker. We're going to have them all here, Locked On Broncos, here in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a jam-packed, interview-filled show over here, Locked On Broncos.